lit up the cab and he cupped her face. Mary's mouth met his, and her heart kicked up with every sweep of his tongue, every brush of his hand against her skin. Their relationship may have started a little rocky, but she believed that he loved her. Not telling you felt worse than saying it out loud at the wrong time. Clark's hand moved over her waist, yanking her closer, and Mary realized too late, her foot had slipped off the brake and they were rolling. The car jerked and the sound of metal crashing to the ground sunk in. She broke away, slamming her foot back over the thick pedal in a panic. "Oh, shit," she cried. "Please don't tell me." Clark covered his mouth with his hand, his wide eyes locking with hers.
"I won't tell you."
Movement beyond Clark's Jeep caught her eye, and she watched in horror as Sam stepped into her high beams, staring down at his motorcycle. Slowly, his furious gaze traveled up, staring into the windshield at him.
"Both of you," he pointed at them with two fingers, "out of the car, now."
Mary put the car in park and unbuckled. "I think your brother means business."
"You did run over his pride and joy."
"Hey, it's your fault too. You distracted me with your mouth and tongue and your hands," Clark laughed.
"I didn't realize the car wasn't in park."
Mary gripped the door handle, pausing. "This may be bad timing, but I think you need to know something."
"What's that?"
"I love you too." Clark's face broke into that wide, joyful smile she adored. And before she knew it, his hands were tangled in her hair, pulling her in for another kiss. Sam tapped on the hood, hollering,
"I said, no more of that! Front end center!"
"Do you think if we ignore him, he'll go away?" she murmured. "Probably not." Clark pulled away with a sigh.
"I'll take care of him. You go get some rest. I've got big plans for you tomorrow."
Chapter 28. Clark got out of his Jeep Tuesday afternoon and headed into Mistletoe Elementary, an invitation and a hot coffee in his hand. Sam had taken him to get his car this morning, bitching the whole time about the scratches on his bike, exacerbating Clark's already throbbing head. Clark already promised to pay for any repairs and buffing the motorcycle needed, but Sam hadn't let up until Clark reminded Sam who he was living with rent-free. Two Tylenol and a greasy breakfast later, he'd felt better and asked Chris for the afternoon off so he could grab Jace early from school. Chris told him to get out and have a good time, and he'd taken off. He had a plan to repair the damage he'd done to his relationship with his son, and in addition, show Mary he was serious about everything he'd said last night. Now it was time to put it in motion. He pushed through the first door and saw Mary sitting at her front office desk in a red sweater dress, her blonde hair pulled back with a scrunchie that looked like sparkling red tinsel. Clark pressed the buzzer, smiling widely when she looked up. She gave a little wave, and her hand went for something on her desk. He heard the door click open and stepped inside. "Hey there." She got up and came around her desk to the front counter, her forehead knitted.
"Hi, what are you doing here?"
"I'm picking up Jace a little early and giving you this." He handed her the coffee and the white envelope, which she took hesitantly, befuddlement in her eyes.
"Well, thank you. I needed an afternoon pick-me-up. Are you taking him to a doctor's appointment or something?"
"Or something."
"Okay, I'll stop being nosy and I'll call down to his teacher."
"Thanks." Clark leaned against the counter as she placed the coffee cup on her desk and made the phone call. He noticed her tights had little holly sprigs all over them when she returned and grinned at the adorable touch.
"All right, he's coming."
"You're awfully Christmassy today."
"Is that a compliment?"
"It is."
"Then thank you. I got a multi-pack of holiday stockings and I'm determined to wear every pair before Christmas."
She held the envelope up and waved it.
"Can I open?"
"Absolutely. It's time sensitive." Mary ripped the top and pulled out the white invitation, reading it aloud.
"Clark and Jace Griffin request the honor of your presence for for a very special outing. Please dress for cold weather and be ready to leave promptly at 4:30 p.m. Dinner and hot cocoa will be provided.
She looked up from the invite, bemused.
Exactly where are you taking me?
It's a surprise. I know it's last minute, but I promise fun.
And food, which I'm a fan of.
She smiled coyly.
I suppose I can put a pin in any other plans for the man I love.
I appreciate that. He leaned against the counter and lowered his voice. I really wish I could kiss you right now.
Dad!
Jace called, his brow furrowed. Clark stood straight, noting Mary's red face, and grinned.
Hey, buddy.
Why are you picking me up?
Because we have an appointment. You ready?
I guess.
Jace looked at Mary with his head cocked to the side.
Do you know what's going on? Not a clue. You gotta sign him out before you can take him,
Mary said, sliding the sheet toward him. Clark filled it out, tossing her a wink. We'll see you in a couple hours.
I'm looking forward to it. Bye, Jace. Bye.
Jace walked ahead of him out the door.
Are you going to tell me what we're doing?
Let's get to the car and I'll explain. When they pulled out of the parking lot, Clark started talking. I've got something fun planned for Mary and the two of us tonight, and there's a couple things I need your help picking out.
Like what?
Jace asked. I was thinking about some flowers. Jace made a face.
Flowers are boring.
Women like flowers.
Fine, but can I get her something else?
With what money? Clark teased.
Swear jar money.
Clark laughed. Hey, it's yours to spend. But I thought you were saving for a new game.
Nah, I'd rather get something for her. I shouldn't buy anything for myself this close to Christmas anyway.
Clark took the left and parked around the back of Kiss My Donut. I think Mary's birthday is next week. Do you want to save it for then?
Sure. Can we get a donut?
Jace asked. I guess. It's 5 a.m. somewhere, right?
Huh?
Never mind, just a dad joke. Clark held the door open and let Jace pass through first. The display case was decorated with snowflake glass clings, and on the counter next to the register sat a stuffed snowman eating a donut. His son jumped in line behind a woman in a green beanie and sweatshirt, holding her child on her hip.
Can I get two?
Jace wheedled. That would be a no. We're having cocoa later with Mary.
Okay. What about a chocolate bar with sprinkles?
You can get whatever single donut you want. The woman in front of him turned, and he found himself staring into Patrice's startled blue eyes. The breath whooshed out between his lips, and he shot a panicked look from her to Jace, who was craning his neck to see the donuts better.
Hi,
she said. Hey. His gaze drifted to her daughter, who sucked on a pink binky furiously. A fuchsia winter hat with cat ears covered her blonde hair, and she watched Clark warily with her mother's blue eyes.
I...
Patrice swallowed, staring down at Jace, her expression indiscernible. This is my son, Jace. There was no other option but to play it through, and his mind raced for an explanation for their acquaintance. Jace, this is Miss Nielsen. I helped tow her car out of a ditch last night.
Nice to meet you,
Jace said, holding his hand out without questioning Clark's introduction. When Patrice stared at him blankly, Clark cleared his throat, and Patrice seemed to come out of her trance with a jolt, taking Jace's hand in hers.
It's nice to meet you too. This is my daughter, Jillian.
The little girl ducked her face against her mother's shoulder. Jace smiled at Jillian.
Hello. I used to be shy when I was little, too. Were you?
Patrice's voice sounded strained, like she was fighting with her emotions. The cashier called out for whoever was next, and she stepped forward.
Hi, can we get a pink snowflake sprinkle donut? A chocolate custard? A small coffee? A milk? And whatever the gentleman behind me and his son would like?
Clark stiffened. His eyebrow arched. Patrice held Clark's gaze, playing along.
It's the least I could do after you helped me out of that ditch.
Right. Well, thank you. He almost laughed out loud that she was using his money to pay for their donuts. But he refrained. Clark gave the cashier their order, and they stepped to the side.
Thank you for the donut,
Jace said.
You're welcome. You take care of your dad.
I do.
The man behind the donut display held out two pastry bags and a drink carrier.
Here you are.
Thanks. Clark grabbed the drinks and the bags, setting them on an empty table. Here are your drinks and your donuts. And these are ours.
All right. Well, it was nice to meet you. Do you want to just sit together?
Jace piped in.
No reason to dirty two tables, right, Dad?
Clark nearly choked on his coffee.
That's very nice of you, Jace. We're actually going back to where we're staying to eat. But thank you for the invitation.
You're welcome.
Be safe, Clark said, waving at the little girl, who gave him a dirty look.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Patrice's gaze lingered on Jace for a moment longer before they turned and left the donut shop. Jace sat down with the donut bag in front of him.
Uh-oh. Some of my chocolate got on your glaze.
That's all right. That just makes it better. He took the donut from his son and said, Hey, Jace.
Yeah?
I'm proud you're my son.
Why?
I just am.
Okay,
Jace said, taking a bit of his donut.
You're weird.
Maybe so, but you know what? This weirdo thinks you're the best thing that's ever happened to him.
Thanks,
Jace said, his mouth full of donut.
Where are we going next?
Flowers and whatever you want to buy Mary. Then we'll go home, put the cocoa in the thermos, get cleaned up and grab her.
Can Daisy come?
No, buddy. We're going ice skating. Jace's mouth dipped into an anxious frown.
But I don't know how to ice skate.
It's okay. You'll learn. It'll be fun.
Does Mary like ice skating?
Clark froze. You know, I'm actually not sure.
What if she hates it?
Then we'll pick another activity.
Like what?
I have no idea. Now finish your donut. We got places to be.
Chapter 29. Mary stepped out her door at 4:29 wearing her snow boots, blue jeans, and a blue sweater under her jacket. The invitation had said to dress warm, so with gloves and a knit cap in her pocket, she was prepared for whatever the Griffins had planned. Clark was backing out of his driveway and made a circle, stopping behind her car. Before she could reach the door, Jace hopped out of the back and got it for her. Good afternoon, he said in a lofty voice. Mary laughed and climbed inside. Thank you for opening my door.
You are welcome.
Clark sat behind the wheel with a large bouquet of red roses in his lap. He handed it to her, leaning over to kiss her cheek.
Hello, beautiful. What's all this?
We're taking you out, Jace said from the back seat.
I can see that. And you got me flowers and opened my door. I feel like a queen.
Let's hope you still feel that way when you see where I've taken you.
Uh-oh, I'm a little scared, Mary said, turning to look at Jace with an exaggerated expression of panic. He giggled.
Clark pulled out onto the road and reached across to take her hand. It was the first time they'd done so in almost a week, and she'd almost forgotten the sense of home his hand in hers created.
Mary? Guess what?
What?
I got you a present. I used the money from the swear jar to buy it. Well, technically, Dad bought it with his card, and he's going to take the money out of the swear jar. He said I should wait until your birthday to give it to you, but I really want you to have it now.
Breathe, buddy, Clark joked.
I think waiting for my birthday is a fantastic plan, although I am really excited and can't wait to see what you got me. Clark squeezed her.
So, Jace brought up an excellent question I didn't even think to ask. Do you like ice skating?
I love it.
Good, because that is where we are taking you.
I've never done it before, but Dad says it will be fine.
You will be, but your dad? Mary hesitated, shooting Jace an unsure expression. I'm a little concerned about. I've seen your dad go up against a patch of ice. And he lost.
Hey, that ice came out of nowhere.
Mary laughed. Keep telling yourself that.
Mary, guess what we had this afternoon?
Jace jumped in, changing the subject like only a kid could. But his excitement was infectious, and Mary turned, her voice high with exhilaration. I give up.
We had donuts. I got a chocolate bar. What is your favorite?
I like buttermilk bars, the glazed kind.
Dad likes the apple fritters, but I think they look like brains.
They do kind of look like brains, don't they? Maybe that means your dad's a zombie.
Clark
groaned, making his son and Mary crack up. Clark's whole body seemed looser, as though he'd left all his worries at his house, and Mary wondered what had changed since last night. He caught her staring and smiled.
What?
Nothing. I just like looking at you.
Why?
Jace asked from the back. 'Cause your dad is pretty. Jace sat forward and turned his head to the side.
He's okay.
Hey, sit back and watch it, Clark barked with mock ferocity. If my girl wants to say I'm pretty, then I'm pretty.
Grown-ups are weird.
They took Main Street through town, the rows of street lamps wrapped in green garland and festive red bows finally in place. A large bow made out of wood with red lights hung below the mistletoe town arch. They'd constructed the arch in the spring as part of the initiative to restore and update to attract tourists. I love driving down Main Street when everything is lit up.
I wish it was Christmas today,
Jace said. Mary turned in her seat again. Speaking of Christmas, what do you want?
I want some Xbox games, a few Lego sets.
You'll have to get me a list with things you haven't told anyone else.
Okay.
Clark pulled into the parking lot of Mistletoe's outdoor ice rink, and Mary hopped out before Jace could get out and grab her door for her.
Hey,
he griped. She wrapped him up in a bear hug and kissed his head. Don't worry about getting my door, kid. I've been doing it a long time, so I can manage.
It's my job, though,
he frowned. Here,
I got a new job for you, Clark said, pulling his wallet out. You take this card and give it to the guy behind the glass. Say it's for the three of us.
Cool.
Jace took off for the booth while Mary and Clark hung back. Your girl, huh? Clark smiled sheepishly.
Sorry, that was presumptuous of me. We haven't discussed labels, although I thought maybe the whole exchanging I love yous sealed the deal.
Mary pursed her lips, fighting a smile. You're not too far off base.
Oh, yeah?
I was calling you mine before last night, so yeah, Mary said, leaning against him. I guess we're together. Clark waved when the guy behind the glass looked up at him. With a cursive glance at his son, he leaned in and whispered against the shell of her ear.
Sounds like you may need further convincing later tonight.
The urge to turn her head and meet his lips coursed through her body, but Jace was already heading back to them with wristbands.
He said we go through the gate for our skates.
Awesome, Mary said. Clark took the wristbands from Jace, and once they'd secured them, Mary slipped her hand into Clark's. To her surprised delight, Jace took her other hand. The burly man behind a long counter waited for them, only a few of the cubbies on the wall empty.
What size skates, folks?
Burly guy asked.
Men's 12, 2 in kids and...
Clark pointed to Mary. Size 8 in women's.
Coming right up.
Can I go watch?
Jace asked. Clark nodded.
Sure. We'll be right there.
Jace ran off to the edge of the rink. There were a few families and couples on the ice, some of them shuffling awkwardly, while others glided with ease.
I'm assuming you've been ice skating before, she said.
A long time ago. So you may be holding both of us up on the ice.
I'll hold your hand unless you try to take me down, and then you are on your own.
What if I promise you can land on top of me and cushion your fall?
Mary's cheeks burned, She glanced furtively at Burley, but he was at the other end of the wall.
I'd say you are too hard to be a cushion, and also, there are kids at this rink. People will talk.
They'll talk about how much I like you on top of me?
She pushed him playfully, watching Jace run back to them.
Behave.
Hard ask when all I can think about is getting you home.
Is he asking me back to his place again?
There are real little kids skating out there.
I told you. It will be fine,
Clark said. Once they collected their skates and handed over their shoes, they sat down on one of the benches to put them on. Jace got his skate over his foot and held it out to Mary.
Can you tie them?
Clark snorted.
You can tie your own skates.
I want Mary to do them.
Want me to do the other? Clark asked.
No, you tie them too tight.
Well, geez, I see how it is.
Clark shot Mary a bemused smile as she tied the skates.
There, bunny ears are beautiful and you are ready to rock.
Jace got to his feet, his legs wobbling a little. A teenaged girl in a mistletoe ice rink sweatshirt stopped in the opening of the rink with a wide, welcoming smile.
Hi there. Is this your first time skating?
It's his first time, Mary said.
Would you like a free lesson to get you started?
Mary and Clark looked at each other and Clark shrugged.
Sure. That's okay with you, buddy?
Are you a professional?
The girl grinned, skated back from the wall and spun in hard, fast circle that turned her into a blur. She skated back and held out her hand.
What do you think?
You'll do.
Clark shook his head. Geez, my kid is a smartass. Mary stepped onto the ice and sailed forward.
Don't act innocent.
I'm sure he didn't come by that gift naturally.
Are you calling me sarcastic?
He sounded outraged. But she had to turn around to be sure.
Maybe a little. Oof!
Mary caught herself before she fell, glaring when Clark laughed.
That's called karma. For being sassy, he said, catching up.
You're the sassy one.
What's gotten into you today?
Clark took her hand and they skated forward.
You. Isn't that enough?
Hey, I love flattery. But I don't think it's that I said yes to skating that has you all lighthearted and sunny. Even on your best day, you're mildly broody.
Damn. You're saying I'm a lot of fun to be around then.
I like all your quirks, including your seriousness.
Today's just been a good day. Jace looks like he's having a good time,
he said, nodding toward his son who was working on his glide.
I'm here with the most amazing woman I've ever met, and I can't believe you love me as much as I do.
Mary skated closer, dropping his hand so she could slide her arm around his waist.
But I do.
I want to build something with you. Partners on equal ground, so that maybe someday, you'll be making us matching rocking chairs like the ones you built for my parents.
Clark held her to him and murmured,
I want that too.
Excuse me, another teenager waved at them. You need to keep skating.
Sorry,
Mary called, taking Clark's hand again. Anything else happened today?
Yeah, it was strange. We bumped into Patrice and her daughter at the donut shop.
With Jace? Did he recognize her?
Clark shook his head.
We never had any pictures printed, and everything digital I deleted a long time ago. So he doesn't know what she looked like.
What did she say?
We both stared at each other with identical expressions of horror. And then I just kind of threw out that I pulled her out of a ditch. He chatted with her, because that's just how he is. That kid will get a job dealing with the public, I swear. He even invited her and her daughter to join us. But she said they were going back to their place. After that, she thanked us and left.
Mary frowned. I can't understand not wanting to be a part of her child's life. I know she signed over rights, but she is missing out on so much.
I asked her why she left, and she didn't give me details. But maybe she isn't the narcissistic monster I've painted her to be. I'm not excusing her behavior. But people aren't black and white, good or bad. Sometimes they make poor choices, because it's what's best for everyone involved, or maybe just for them. But either way, I hope Patrice finds a way to heal.
Did you think about telling Jace the truth?
she asked. No, it's not what she wants. And there is no reason to put him through an emotional upheaval for someone who doesn't want to be involved in his life. She gave me a letter for him, and when he is ready, I'll give it to him. If he wants to find her and try to connect with her, I'll support him, because his happiness has always come first.
You're an amazing father, Clark.
I know that, because I was raised by one. Jace skated toward them, the instructor skating along next to him.
Look at you go, Mary cried, holding her free hand out to him.
Joy says I'm a natural.
Clark pulled out his wallet and gave Joy a 5. When it was just the three of them again, Mary in the middle, they skated along. They passed below a speaker playing Winter Wonderland, and Jace sang along, loudly and off key.
We should build a snowman after this.
I think it's going to be too dark by the time we leave, buddy, but we can do it another day.
Will you help us, Mary?
I'd love to. I haven't built a snowman in years, so you may have to help remind me how it goes.
You should watch tutorials on YouTube so you know what you're doing.
Mary's laughter was cut short when Jace lost his balance and fell, nearly taking her down with him. Clark came around in front of her to help his son up. You okay, buddy?
Yeah.
Let's skate it off. They made it another few laps before Jace said his knee really hurt, and they skated to the side and sat down. Clark rolled up Jace's jeans and tisked. Oh, man, this leg may need to come off.
Dad,
Jace groaned, but his lips kicked up in the corners. You want to go get food and then take Mary to our next surprise?
Yes.
Clark returned the skates, leaving Jace and Mary sitting on the bench together.
Are you going to marry my dad?
Mary started, staring down into his earnest eyes. I don't know. We only started dating a few weeks ago, and while I care about him, he hasn't asked.
I think he will. He is definitely happy with you. I've never seen him hold anyone's hand before, and he talks about you a lot to Uncle Sam.
You probably shouldn't eavesdrop on conversations between your dad and your uncle.
I know. My dad tells me to stay out of adult conversations, but he told my uncle he didn't want to lose you, and my uncle told him to get off his bad word for butt and tell you how he feels.
Jace lowered his voice as Clark approached.
I just wanted to tell you, if you want to marry him, I'm okay with it.
Mary's heart hammered in her chest and took her shoes from Clark wordlessly.
Who's ready for fries and chicken strips?
Clark asked.
You know it, boy.
God, it started. Pretty soon you're going to start calling me dude and bruh, like that kid Weston I work with. The two went back and forth on the way out of the skating rink gate, while Mary pushed down the spark of giddiness bubbling in her stomach. Jace probably didn't even realize how touching it was that he'd given her permission to be with Clark and join their family. She blinked back happy tears as he raced ahead and opened her door. But Clark shooed him into the car, studying her face with concern. Hey, everything all right?
Yes, it's perfect. This date is perfect.
She kissed his lips softly.
Thank you for this.
You're welcome, but it's not over yet. You're going to sit down for some food, and then head over to Evergreen Lane to walk through the neighborhood.
And after that,
I'll take you home unless you want to stay over.
Mary kissed him, aware Jace was probably watching and eavesdropping. I've got to get Daisy from my parents, but just so you know, I'm getting closer to saying yes. Clark smiled.
Guess I'm doing something right then, huh?
Tens across the board.
Chapter 30. Clark pulled into the Mistletoe Hotel Friday evening and parked, sitting in his Jeep for a few more moments with Mary in the passenger seat. He took her hand in his, drawing on her strength.
You doing okay?
She asked. As well as can be expected. He pulled the thick envelope out from under his seat, the weight of it matching the sinking sensation in his stomach. It's not all of my savings, but a large chunk of it.
You don't have to give her anything. Or at least let me help. I can give her some.
No, he said firmly, softening the blow with a kiss. I love you, and I want to share my life with you, but this is my past to deal with. He brushed his lips against the knuckles of her hand. I promise, any future problems will be 100% a wee thing.
I guess we better get this done and get me to the parade.
Clark knew he had to do this, that it was the only way he could look his son in the eye. I'm ready. They climbed out of his Jeep and joined hands when they reached the sidewalk, heading slowly across the cracked cement to room number 15. Clark knocked and waited with nervous energy coursing through him until he heard the door chain being removed. Patrice opened the door, her gaze widening when she saw Mary by his side.
Hello? I didn't know you were bringing someone. I'm only here for moral support, Mary said. Well, come in. We were watching cartoons while we waited on food to get here.
Clark stepped over the threshold first, taking in the king bed and open suitcases in the corner. Jillian sat on the bed, watching cartoons on the TV, ignoring them.
What's your daughter's name? Mary asked. Jillian, would it be all right for me to say hi?
Patrice glanced at her daughter hesitantly.
Sure, but she doesn't really warm up to strangers. That's cool. This guy's the same way,
Mary joked, squeezing his hand. She released his hand and walked over to the edge of the bed, speaking softly to Jillian, who shot her a suspicious glance.
Is she really that nice, or is it an act?
Patrice asked in a low voice. Clark's lips pressed in a thin line, and she sighed.
Sorry. Trusting people is not my strong suit.
We have that in common, he said, holding out the envelope. Here is what you asked for. Patrice took the manila envelope, turning it over in her hands. When she looked inside, her brow furrowed.
What's in here?
Pictures I thought you might like to have. I know you have your reasons for the choices you've made, but he is a part of you. Patrice's hands trembled as she pulled the pictures out, sliding one behind another as she looked through them.
Why did you do this?
She whispered. Clark's ire rose, and he reached for the pictures. If you don't want them.
Why did you have to make this so hard?
She held the pictures away from him and put the money envelope in his hand.
Keep your money.
Mary got up from the bed.
Is everything all right?
It's fine, Mare. We're just talking. Clark kept his hard gaze on Patrice. I don't understand. I thought you needed it.
I can't take that money. What is it, his college fund?
She dropped the pictures on the bed, covering her face with her hands for several ticks. And then she brought them down, and Clark saw the tears in her eyes.
I didn't want to see him.
That was an accident.
I know. And I'm not saying I suddenly want a relationship with him. Mary wasn't wrong, though,
Patrice said, shooting Mary a trembling smile.
He's a great kid. Kind. Considerate. He deserves everything you can give him, which is why I can't take that.
I pulled it for you. It's done. She shook her head.
Put it back, then.
What about her? Clark asked. You said you had nothing left. If you don't take this, how are you going to find a safe place for you both?
I'll figure something out.
Patrice, I'm glad to see that you have a soul. I may have compared you to a heartless demon a few times over the years. She chuckled quietly, and he smiled, holding the money out. You are going to need money for car repairs, first and last month's rent, utilities, gas, groceries. I made you a spreadsheet budget. If you follow it, you should be able to make it a few months comfortably until you can find a job. I also put an investment outline for whatever is left after things settle down. If you continue to add 10% of your income to it, it will grow at a steady rate. Clark lowered his voice so Jillian wouldn't hear.
although she seemed preoccupied naming off all the ponies on the screen for Mary. She really was the kid whisperer. Christmas is included in the budget, including a tree. Patrice pulled out his budget report, and before he knew what she was about, she'd counted out what he'd told her to invest and handed it back to him.
I'll follow your advice, but I don't want to take more than what we need.
If that's what you want, he said.
It is. Thank you for this. I will try to pay you back.
Honestly, Patrice, consider it a gift. Just text me when you get to wherever you're going so I know you're safe.
I know I don't deserve it. But thank you, Clark.
You're welcome. When are you leaving?
Tomorrow. I'm thinking somewhere in the Midwest. I hear Kentucky is pretty great.
Safe travels, then. Mary, you ready? Mary got up from the bed.
Good night, Jillian. Thank you for letting me watch ponies with you.
Night,
the little girl said with a smile. But when she caught Clark watching, she looked away.
I guess you have the touch with kids, huh?
Patrice said.
She's a sweetheart.
Mary reached out to Patrice and took her hands.
It was nice to meet you. I hope you have a Merry Christmas and you take really good care of each other. Thank you.
Clark held his hand out to Mary, and she slipped her smaller one into his. The motel room door closed behind him as they walked back to the Jeep in silence, the wad of cash burning a hole in his hand.
If it's any consolation, I think she's already changing for the better,
Mary said softly as he got into the driver's seat. I think so too. I'm going to go deposit this in the bank before we head over to the Parade of Lights.
Fine by me, but don't dawdle.
Mrs. Claus cannot disappoint her subjects.
Why is Mrs. Claus British and talking about herself in the third person?
Because I know that was really difficult for you, and I wanted to make you laugh.
Clark leaned over and kissed her, his hand cradling her cheek with a smile. Thank you for being here tonight.
I love you,
she whispered. I love you too. He headed up the road to the bank and deposited it into his savings. He could decide where best to distribute it Monday, but right now he needed to get downtown for the Parade of Lights. His phone pinged with a notification, but he couldn't check until he parked a mile outside of the square of town. Families streamed down the sidewalk, finding free spots to watch. He weaved his way to the start where the Winter's Christmas Tree Farm float was parked in front of the tire shop on the end of 4th Street. Mary unbuckled the minute his engine shut off.
Hurry, before my mother has a cow.
We've got time, Mare. The float is parked right over there.
Yes, but I still need to change into my Mrs. Claus outfit. And there's a lot of fluffing and molding to do, or my boobs will look crooked.
Clark let her drag him across the dirt parking lot, grinning from ear to ear. I have no idea what you're talking about, but sounds like something I could help with.
Clark! Mary!
Victoria yelled, waving her arms as she rushed to meet them. Mary waved back.
Hey, I'm here.
Where's Jace? Clark asked.
Chris took him to get hot cocoa. Now I need you both to get changed.
Both?
Mom, what are you talking about?
Victoria huffed.
Didn't you get my texts? Nick is sick, and Martin's wife went into labor, so I need to fill float positions. You're going to be Santa,
she pointed at Clark.
And your brother agreed to be our other elf.
Wait, my brother agreed to that?
Yes. So will you please help out? Chris can't get in and out of that float with his knees, and we'll keep Jace with us so he can see the whole thing.
Clark nodded. Of course I'll help. Victoria clapped her hands gleefully.
Wonderful. Now both of you head past the float and into the back of the tire shop. The door is open. Hurry!
Mary led the way past the Winters family float. It was the same float they'd used for the last 5 years, with a little refreshed paint and props. The trailer was hooked to the back of a 1954 cherry red Ford truck, green wooden trees lit up by a spotlight in the back of the truck. The trailer was covered in white cotton fluff, thousands of white Christmas lights woven throughout. Two wooden boxes, painted to look like presents, sat on either side toward the front, a spotlight on either side to illuminate whoever sat inside. Pre-lit Christmas present yard displays were randomly placed and stacked at the feet of the brown wooden reindeer, held to Santa's sleigh by reins of Christmas lights and golden bells. More trees took up the rear behind Santa's sleigh, and a sign for the farm twinkled with green and red lights. Clark crossed the rough parking lot behind Mary and to the double doors. They opened as he was reaching around Mary to open them, and Sam stepped out in an elf costume that was obviously meant for a much shorter man. The ruffled legs stopped mid-calf on Sam, and Clark coughed, covering his laugh.
"Not a word,"
Mary giggled.
"You look adorable, Sam."
"Hey, you better watch it, Missy. You're still on my naughty list."
"Please, your bike is fine. I'll see you in there,"
she said, kissing Clark swiftly. Almost as an afterthought, Mary kissed Sam's cheek.
"I am really sorry about hurting your motorcycle, Sam. Forgive me?"
Sam gave her a wicked grin. "Maybe for a real kiss." "Hey," Clark protested. Mary laughed, blowing them both a kiss.
"Sorry, Sam, but these lips are taken."
"You hear that? Taken." Sam ruffled his hair.
"I was only playing, brother. Although it would have made me feel better about this getup."
Clark laughed as Sam danced a jig in the pointy bell shoes. "How did she get you to wear it?"
"Mentioned I'd been staying in their foreman house rent-free."
"Well, you look adorable."
"Fuck you."
"Did she con you into riding on the float? Or are you just here for shits and giggles?" "I'm going to fill in for Nick as Santa Claus."
"I should have been Santa. I'm older."
"Want a trade?"
Clark slapped Sam on the back. "Not a chance." "I'll see you out there, though." Sam muttered a few colorful names as he stomped away, and Clark grinned, enjoying his older brother's discomfort. It said a lot about the Winters family that Victoria could get Sam to potentially embarrass himself after some prodding. While his brother would always be the real rebel, maybe Sam found a little of what Clark discovered being here. A place to belong. Clark walked in to Mary adjusting a white wig with a perfectly circular bun on her head. She turned away to look at him, spectacles perched on her pert nose.
"Is that you, Santa Claus?"
Clark burst out laughing. "What are you wearing?"
"You don't like my dress?"
The red number was trimmed on the collar and sleeves with white lace, a black buckle belt secured below an enormous chest and ample hips. "I mean, your boobs are a little bigger than I remember them." She picked a garment bag off the desk and handed it to him, leaning up to give him a kiss.
"You want to feel him?"
"Is it weird if I say yes?"
"No, they crinkle."
She put her hand over her chest and squeezed, creating a crackling sound.
"Mom bought this bra years ago that was a G-cup or something, sewed it to a girdle, and created pockets filled with newspaper. She puts more in every year to keep it fluffy."
"Not gonna lie, that's a little hot."
"None of that, or Mom will come looking for us."
Mary hopped up onto the desk, watching him change. Clark unzipped his jacket and tossed it over the desk next to her, followed by his shirt, holding her gaze. "So no peeking under Mrs. Claus' skirts?"
"Absolutely not. We can't be late for our big debut."
"You've never ridden in the parade before?" Clark kicked off his boots and went for the buckle of his belt.
"I have, but as an elf. My mom used to be Mrs. Claus, but when she got her new glasses prescription, the motion makes her sick."
When she dropped his jeans, she made an appreciative sound in the back of her throat.
"I like what you're wearing right now. Maybe you could get away with just the beard."
"I'd freeze off everything you like and then some." He opened up the garment bag and pulled out the Santa jacket. Wow, it's Sherpa-lined.
So is my dress. It's like wearing a cozy blanket.
Clark buckled the jacket into place, and Mary booed him. Stop making all that noise, or your mother is going to come in here and see what we're doing.
Which is nothing. I'm just enjoying the view.
Clark secured the pants and put his boots back on. Should we get going?
You gotta have the hat and beard on from the time you leave until you get back here in case there are kids around.
Got it. Clark secured the hat and connected the beard in place. He turned in the mirror and struck a pose. This is me.
Will you come on?
Mary giggled, taking his hand. They walked out the door and across the parking lot to the float. When Victoria saw them, she clapped her hands.
Oh, you two look wonderful. Now get up there. It's going to start in a few minutes.
Clark climbed up first and took Mary's hand, leading her across the trailer bed to the sleigh. Clark caught sight of his brother scrunched in one of the wooden boxes in the front of the sleigh and waved. Sam flipped him off in return.
Sam!
Victoria barked.
There are children present!
Clark snort laughed as he climbed into the sleigh next to Mary. She covered them with a blanket and picked up a thermos from the floor.
The parade lasts a little over an hour, so Mom made us some of her special hot chocolate.
She took off the lid and handed it to him. He took a swig and cocked his head. Is that coconut?
Yeah, she puts rum in it. Just enough to keep us warm.
He took the cap from her and screwed it back into place. This is my first time riding in the parade. You'll have to tell me what to do.
Pretend you're Santa. Wave to the crowd. Stroke your beard. They can only see us from the waist up. And fair warning, the only songs that play on this float have to do with Santa and Christmas trees, so it will wear thin. Oh, your gloves. Are they in your pocket?
Clark stuck a hand in and pulled out black leather gloves. Mary wore white ones, and when he took her hand, he wasn't happy that he couldn't feel her warm skin on his. The sound of the mayor's voice in the distance announced the start of the parade, and Clark waited to move, but the float sat. Why aren't we moving?
There's a lot of floats, and we'll be going maybe 5 miles an hour. It takes a while. I do want to tell you that I'm proud of how you handled things with Patrice. How do you feel?
Like I'm ready to put a lot of things behind me and concentrate on all the good in my life.
Like Jason, Sam?
Are you fishing?
I am not. I am waiting patiently.
Clark released her hand to cup her cheek. And you. Always you, Mary. She met his kiss, and he slid his hand behind her neck, cradling it as he ignored the irritating whiskers of the beard above his upper lip and got lost in the taste of the woman he loved. After 27 years, he'd fallen in love for the very first time with Mary Winters, and he planned to do everything he could to make sure she was the one he spent the rest of his life with. Something bonked him over the head, and he broke away with a, "Hey!" Holly stood over them with a 3-foot-long candy cane, smirking.
Mom says stop making out. There are kids.
I know there are kids, but Santa should be allowed to kiss his wife, Clark laughed.
Santa doesn't use his tongue on Mrs. Claus, Holly giggled. This one does,
Mary quipped, her face turning red. Holly waved the candy cane at them.
Don't make me come back here.
As Holly swished back to her box, Clark grumbled. Did I just get kiss blocked by an angry elf wielding a candy cane?
I think you did.
Your sister is getting coal for Christmas. The float rolled forward slowly, and the speakers blared with Up on the Rooftop. It was so loud that Clark could barely hear himself think. When they came up on the start of the crowd, Holly and Sam tossed handfuls of candy. Clark waved at all the excited kids, but after 10 minutes, his arm ached from holding it up. Mary took a discreet sip of hot cocoa and leaned over.
Having fun?
I think my arm is going to fall off.
Use the sleigh edge to rest your arm on. That's why it's padded.
Clark did what she said, and the instant relief made him sigh. Why didn't you tell me before?
I wanted to see how long you could keep it up.
There's that little mean streak again. Her gaze softened, and she leaned over, giving him a long, lingering kiss.
I promise to kiss all your aching muscles better.
Is that right? He murmured against her lips.
Mm-hmm.
When Mary pulled away, she pointed to the front of the float.
We're in so much trouble.
Clark turned to find Holly glaring at them, smacking her candy cane against the palm of her hand angrily. She's an angry elf, he laughed.
Did you mean to do that?
She asked. What?
That's a line from the movie Elf. I thought you may have remembered it was my favorite from our messages.
Clark smiled sheepishly. I forgot. I'm sorry.
It's fine, really. Funny enough, I went into the Meet Me app a few hours before our first date. I logged in to reread our emails, and your profile was gone. I was wondering if you did it after the first night we were supposed to meet.
No, I did it after.
When?
After our first kiss, when Jace was sick. I hadn't been on since I read your final message anyway. But after we kissed, I knew I didn't want anyone else. Mary smiled wide and cupped his face.
Aren't you going to ask me something?
He stared into her eyes tenderly. Mary, will you please come home with me?
I'd love to.
Chapter 31. When the blaring beep of an alarm clock went off Saturday morning, Mary groaned as she looked around Clark's room blearily for the source of the obnoxious sound. She smacked the top of the clock on his nightstand and blinked a few times, trying to make out the red numbers. 9:31. Mary sat straight up in bed, holding the sheet to her naked chest. It was Saturday. She needed to be at the community center to set up for the Festival of Trees in less than 30 minutes. Jumping out of Clark's bed, she started gathering her clothes off the floor. She borrowed a t-shirt from Clark's drawer and got dressed in a hurry, throwing her hair up into a messy bun as she rushed out of his room with her boots and socks in her hands. Sam and Jace were sitting at the kitchen table, a tray of giant cinnamon rolls in the center. Jace held one in his hand, his face a mess of frosting. Good morning, Mary, Sam said, picking up his cup of coffee. How did you sleep? Mary glared at him. Bite me, Sam. Is bite me a bad word? Jace asked. No, but it's rude. I stand by my rudeness this morning. Now, I'm late. Hopping from foot to foot, she got on her socks and shoes and then came around the back of the kitchen and kissed Jace on top of his head. Have a good day. You too. She grabbed a cinnamon roll, shrugged, and kissed Sam on the top of his head. You have a good day too. Thanks. I will. She skidded to a halt before the door. Wait. Where is Clark? In his workshop, Sam said. And my dog? With my brother. All right. Are you going to have this kind of energy every morning? Sam called after her. Because if so, I am going to need to mentally prepare myself to live with you. Mary slammed the front door without responding, because really, she didn't know what the future held, only that her future included Clark and Jace. After the parade ended, they'd gotten changed and headed home. She'd grabbed Daisy from her kennel and walked her the several hundred feet to Clark's place. Jace had wanted Daisy in his room, but they'd vetoed the idea due to her destructive nature. He'd been disappointed until they'd agreed to let him hang in Clark's room and watch a movie. Clark carried him to bed when he fell asleep and after. Well, Mary had tried to be very quiet, but based on Sam's smirk, she hadn't been successful. Mary trekked down the hill, calling Clark's name. She was reaching for the handles on his shop door when he opened them and stepped out. Daisy followed along beside him. Good morning. He kissed her long and lingeringly, making her shiver. Hey, what are you doing in there? She asked, craning her neck.
Nothing, just woodwork. Did you sleep okay?
A little too good. Sorry, I'm borrowing a shirt because I'm so late. She kissed him again, fast and hard. Would you mind taking Daisy to my parents for me?
Yeah, I can do that.
You are a lifesaver. One more kiss and then she took off up the hill, waving, I'll see you soon. I love you.
I love you too. Good luck.
Mary didn't slow as she booked it across town, even when a sheriff's deputy flashed his lights when he passed. Her phone rang as she took the left into the community center parking lot, and she pressed the green phone on her screen. Hello? Are we still having your launch party in January? Holly asked. Yes, that is the plan. I'm only checking because your pre-sale Christmas numbers are excellent. So if you wanted to open early, Holly, with Clark, the parade of lights, the festival, my job at the school, and learning the ins and outs of the farm, I cannot launch until after the new year. I closed the pre-order sheet because it was getting out of control and there was no way I was going to get all those orders done if I kept it open. All right. But if you want to lighten your load, I would put in your notice at the school. And have you seen how many new followers you've gained? Mary grinned as she parked next to Ryan's monster truck. 21,000 as of last night. And depending on how sales go over the next 6 months, I may just do that. You've got 2,000 more this morning and... Suddenly her car door jerked open and Ryan reached in and pulled her out.
Why are you late?
I am not. 1 minute. I am 1 minute late.
But you're never late.
What's going on? Holly hollered. I gotta go, sis. Duty calls. Love you. Love you. Mary grabbed her purse and shut her car door, listening with half an ear as Ryan continued his rant.
You are always 10 minutes earlier than everyone else, and I thought you were dead,
bloody in pieces on the side of the road. I overslept. Not a big deal. Mary squeezed his arm. Breathe, Ryan. It's all going to be fine.
How can you say that? I already broke up one fight between a couple of crafters.
Maybe next year we'll set up a sparring ring and take bets. Ryan looked at her like she'd been replaced by pod people. Why are you not freaking out? Because we've done our best to make this event spectacular, and I am not going to stress a hiccup or two. Mary thought about Clark and all their hiccups. They'd been uncomfortable at the time, but it led to something better, stronger. Okay, you're freaking me out. But if you want to channel some kind of Zen Kesara bullshit, who am I to squash it? That's the spirit, Mary joked. Oh, and someone else bought a tree, so now we have to shift the rose. I called your dad to get another one delivered, but he didn't pick up. Wait, someone else bought a tree? Who? Ryan looked down at his phone, tapping the screen. Pumpkin Pie Designs? I don't know, but what do you want me to do about the crafters auditioning for their own reality show? The Real Craft Karens of Mistletoe? Mary grabbed the door and winked. Don't worry, I've got this. The community center was bustling with life, people setting up booths and tree stands. Mary stepped onto the top of one of the tables set up in the food section, put her fingers into her mouth, and whistled. When the chatter stopped, she projected. All right, everyone, listen up. I appreciate all of you being here and want to thank you. Your support for this amazing charity event has raised the most money in 5 years. The room clapped, and Mary held her hands up. That being said, this is a Christmas event. I want cheery dispositions and neighbors helping each other. I hear about any fighting or bickering, and you will be asked to leave the event without a refund. I don't want to do that. But I will if people cannot get along. Mary clapped her hands. Excellent. Now that's out of the way and we can talk about the trees. I need them shifted into rows of 9. If you got upper body strength, meet me over at the tree area and we'll move them around. Thank you. Mary hopped down, smiling at Ryan's slack-jawed face. How was that?
Like I'm expecting burly enforcers to show up any minute and start dragging people out.
Perfect. Exactly what I was going for.
Okay, you have got to tell me what happened to you because you are like yourself, but supercharged.
I thrive well under pressure. Now, enough jabbering. We've got work to do. They got the trees reassembled into a 9x9 square, with pathways between so people could see all of the trees and their ornaments. Each tree had a box where raffle tickets could be slipped inside, with the name of the business on the outside. The hours flew by in a sea of faces all asking her questions. She was working on stringing lights through the food court when Jace came running up.
Hey, Mary, I'm here to help.
Awesome. I can use a go-getter like you, she said, giving him a big hug. Is your dad here?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, I need you to bring me those tablecloths, and we're going to cover every table. The 10 folding tables were covered with red vinyl tablecloths, with green Christmas tree confetti scattered on them, and the centerpiece was a pop-up paper tree. What do you think? Jace stroked his chin thoughtfully.
It will work.
Mary laughed, ruffling his hair. Let's go find your dad.
No.
Why not?
He's busy,
Jace stammered. Okay, is there something going on you want to tell me about? Jace shook his head vehemently.
You're being weird, kid, but I'm going to let it go for now. We'll check out the booths and make sure everyone has what they need, and then you can tell me all about what your dad is up to.
After an hour of Jace shadowing her every move, she knew that Clark had told him to keep her away from him, but wasn't sure why. She passed by Holly on a step stool, putting a Christmas star made from plastic tools on the top of one of the trees.
Hey, is that yours?
No, this is Declan's tree.
Why are you decorating it? Mary asked.
Because that was the deal. He buys, I decorate.
Mary held her hands up.
Whatever, your deal, not mine.
Have you seen Clark?
He was over...
What?
Holly was looking beyond Mary, her brow furrowed. Mary turned, and Jace smiled innocently. Mary arched a brow.
There was definitely games afoot.
You know,
actually, Holly said, standing on her tiptoes to hand a wrench ornament.
I haven't seen him. And please tell me you're going home to shower and change because you are smelling a little ripe, sis.
Mary lowered her nose to her armpit and scowled. Fine. I'll just find Ryan and tell him I'm running home really quick.
I can tell him for you, Holly said brightly. Honestly, it's better if you don't expose too many people to it.
Mary's gaze shifted between Holly and Jace, waving her fingers at them. I don't know what is happening here,
but this better not be a prank.
Good Lord, will you trust me and go get pretty? Come on, Jace. We don't have to stand here and suffer her slander.
What's slander?
Jace asked, following behind Holly. Mary shot Ryan a quick text and headed home. After 6 hours of sweat and grime, she agreed with Holly's assessment of her hygiene. It was strange Clark hadn't come to find her when he arrived. Her birthday wasn't until next week, so she didn't think they'd be planning a birthday surprise today. Maybe he was irritated with her for rushing off. Had she been overtly inconsiderate? She sent Clark a text to clear the air.
Hey, I'm sorry about this morning. I ran home to get cleaned up, but I'll be back in a bit.
When she pulled into her driveway, he'd read the text but hadn't replied. By the time she got out of the shower and hadn't heard from him, she was worried. Her phone beeped finally as she was tying her boots. Don't worry about it. The place is looking great. See you when you get here. The text was pleasant but perfunctory and not at all like him. Mary got back to the community center a little after 5 and went in search of Clark. The doors opened at 5:30 and she didn't want to wait 3 hours to talk to him about why he was avoiding her. She found him over by the food court, talking to her brother Nick and his friends. She came up alongside him and touched his arm. Hey.
Hey, there you are, he said, wrapping his arm around her shoulders. I missed you today.
Really? Because every time I tried to find you, your son would steer me in the opposite direction.
That's because I didn't want you to see my surprise before it was done.
What surprise? Pike chuckled.
Did you notice her change in tone? At first, she was irritated. Now she's all sweet and eager.
Shut it, Pike, she said, letting Clark lead her away.
The place looks great, Mary,
he said, lacing his fingers with hers. Thanks. But Ryan did a lot and all the volunteers,
I know. But you also kept things organized. Ryan told me you threatened to kick out anyone who caused trouble. I'm sorry I missed it.
He was shocked. I don't think he knew I had it in me. Mary pointed to the Gallagher's tree. Did you know that Declan had my sister decorate his tree for him? I mean, it was nice that he bought one, but Holly has enough to do. He must have paid her well, because she can't stand the guy.
Where's Holly's tree?
Oh, I don't have my spreadsheet. I think it's in the corner.
Should we take a turn before the crowds get to them?
Sure. But I want to see your surprise.
It's in the trees. You won't have to look far.
Mary shook her head at his cryptic message. Strolling down the first row, Holly's tree was three down on the right and a mix of silver and gold ornaments, and a gorgeous porcelain angel with a silver dress, gold wings, and halo. Silver and Gold Treasures by Holly Winters. She really outdid herself. Everyone did. Even the plumbing company's tree is fun and festive. They found her parents' tree on the next row. In lieu of a star, a green plaid bow was tied to the top. Matching plaid bulb ornaments and various red trucks carrying Christmas trees adorned the green branches. A photo ornament with the entire farm staff hung front and center, with Merry Christmas from Winter's Christmas Tree Farm written in gorgeous script on the red frame.
Come look at this one,
Clark called from the end of the next row. Mary stopped next to him, frowning. Where is the ticket box?
Maybe it's spoken for.
She bent down and read the custom wood sign. Merry and Bright by Pumpkin Pie Woodworking and Designs. Display only. The tree was wrapped with bright LED lights, with bulbs the size of a dime. The topper was a simple wood star with holes through it, and streams of white light shining through. There were several ornaments of a white dog in various poses, and Mary reached out to finger the one of the pup hiding behind a Christmas tree. Clark, is this you? He slipped behind her, his arms circling her waist.
Yes.
They're beautiful. There was an ornament carved to look like a slice of pumpkin pie. Another of two interconnecting rocking chairs with his and hers engraved on the backs of them. Tears pooled in her eyes, and she turned in his arms.
You haven't even seen the best ones.
He took her hand and led her around back. There was a couple dancing, a pair of ice skates, Santa's sleigh, her name, a dog with a Clark, she gasped, grabbing the ornament off the tree and shoving it into her pocket. He burst out laughing.
What? This tree chronicles every moment I've spent with you. I couldn't leave it out. Or this one.
Clark showed her another ornament of a man carrying a woman in his arms. You painted these.
Actually, I carved, and Sam painted.
I want this tree. Clark hung the ornaments back on the tree, except the one of Butch, and he took her face in his hands.
I figured you would say something like that, but if you want it, there's a price.
Name it.
I want forever with you. I want to spend a lifetime making wooden memories of us. You, me, Jace, your demon dog, your family, Sam.
He kissed her lips, whispering, I love you, Mary.
My first love, my only love. You can have the tree. If I can keep your heart.
Mary sobbed, wrapping her arms around his waist. Yes, my heart is yours, all yours. He kissed her again, deepening it, his hands tangling in her hair.
Dad! Mary! Jace yelled.
They broke apart in time for Clark to catch Jace on the fly.
Did she like the tree?
I love the tree, Mary said, running her hand over his hair.
Can I give it to her now?
There's more? Clark reached into his jacket pocket and handed the box to Jace.
He really didn't want to wait until your birthday.
Just like his dad.
has to give the best gifts early. Jace handed the box to Mary, and she opened it. It was a white gold necklace with three colorful gemstones embedded in the center of a heart.
It's our birthstones. Blue is you, red is me, and purple is Dad.
I told him it might be too much. No, it's not. She unclasped the chain and closed it behind her neck. I love it so much, and you. Mary kissed Jace's cheek. I love you.
I love you too.
He lowered his voice to a stage whisper.
I did okay keeping her away?
Clark grinned. You did excellent, buddy. Mary tackled him until he squealed.
I knew you were distracting me. I just couldn't figure out why. Dad wanted everything to be perfect.
It is, Mary said, hugging them both. Everything is absolutely perfect.
This has been an Audible Original, produced by Audible Originals, written by Cody Hall, performed by CJ Bloom and Lee Samuels. Executive producers, Allison Carroll and Kat Lambrix. Acquisition and development, Catherine Stewart. Vice President of Audible Studios, Mike Charzik. Editor-in-Chief, Audible Original Publishing, David Blum. Copyright 2021 by Cody Gary. Sound recording copyright 2021 by Audible Originals, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.